New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Ruthless Aggression is back. I'm Pierce, joined by Robin. Chris, we're going to keep this short and simple. This is your Extreme Rules recap. Extreme Rules a couple days ago. We don't even know what's going to happen on Raw in about 48 minutes. But we'll recap Extreme Rules for you, and we'll get you an update on Raw, SmackDown, everything in between, plus your years, weeks in 2006 coming up next week. Because there's no Bears game. And, I mean, frankly, why would I sign my life away to them anyway? But let's talk about Extreme Rules this past Saturday, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Before we dig into the matches as a whole, you guys watched on TV. I was in the arena. What? How did it come across on TV to you guys? Were you very sports entertained?
It was kind of weird because, like, I don't think there was a match except the first one that I liked every bit of, but I think each match had like something that I really enjoyed, but a couple of them had a couple things that I really didn't enjoy. Overall though, like, it wasn't a bad show. I don't think it was entertaining, you know, a good way to spend a Saturday night. So yeah, I guess overall it was good.
I think going in, maybe people set the bar a little too high. And to be fair, apart from the Rumble, I think that much of WWE's PLEs, pay-per-views, network events, whatever you want to call them, have been worthy of a high standard, because a lot of them have been hits, some of varying degrees of, you know, better than others, I think, especially with how well Cardiff was received and how well that went.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe people raised the bar a little bit, but I personally had a fun time watching everything except for one match. But knowing me, you might not guess which one that is just because of where my rooting interests were going in. But
I wonder if it was a match I didn't watch, because there was a match I definitely did not watch.
Which one?
I will get to it.
Okay. We'll get to it.
Yeah. I brought my girl with me, so this was our first WWE show together. I was sports entertained for sure, because she was. Very interesting show. Like, there were ebbs and flows. I thought some matches could have ended a little bit differently, but I got nothing to really complain about. I think if anybody does have an issue, like, overall with the show, it's really because the expectation didn't meet what we got.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. No.
But and even then, like, it was still a solid show all around, I think.
Exactly. It wasn't like it was a dud. It was just,
Yeah.
Some people probably put a little bit more emphasis on it. I will say this. I am really tired of this "we're not going to do pre-show" thing.
Yeah.
You have them backstage. Make them work. You know,
give us
something to watch for the hour that we're
Yeah, you just sit there.
Yeah, you just sit there. It's stupid. I don't get it.
Really dumb. We opened with a 6-man tag team, good old fashioned Donnybrook match. This was fun between the brawling brutes and Imperium. We got this one completely wrong. We thought that Sheamus would be the IC champ coming to this, and Imperium would walk away with the victory. But this played out like an absolute brawl. Gunther's still the IC champ, but the brawling brutes get the win.
Yeah, and it was a really good choice to open to, just because, you know, they went out, they had a brawl, and a little surprised Sheamus didn't win. Clearly they're setting it up to have, you know, one more match at some point, which would be cool. But really good opener. They got the stuff ringside involved, and then just kind of did violence for 15 minutes or whatever, really all you could look for.
And, you know, Sheamus's great run continues that I think he's been on since that parking lot brawl that he had with Big E on one of the season premieres. I want to say it was 2 years ago when they were in the Thunderdome.
Oh, yeah.
Since then, he's just been on a tear. And it's really crazy to think about, because, you know, his health status was in question for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He was obviously on a lengthy sabbatical from after Mania 35 all the way up till mid spring of 2020 when he came back and did that Jeff feud. But he's on another level right now. He's on a total heater. The crowd loves him. They're keeping him as a babyface. They're keeping them as babyfaces. Strong move. Good job listening to your audience. Good job skewing that way. And yeah, I mean, this was the right decision. Ultimately, I think just because of how inverse it was with him not getting the IC title. But I think that there's definitely still plenty of fruit on the vine there. For a third encounter, people are going to want to see it because I think that both matches deserve any critical acclaim that they get. And yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun watching this at home. I'm sure it was just as much of a blast to watch in the arena.
It was, man. It was, because it was a lot of action, of course. That's why it was a favorite to start this match. Everyone played their role well. I definitely think Imperium did, while they did come away with the L, they came across looking like a very formidable faction. And credit to the Brawling Brutes, because I think they're getting over really well as a face tag team. It's just a bunch of guys yes. that love to fight. That's a testament to Sheamus and, you know, his staying power that he's had with the company and with the fans and you know, being able to get over with two guys and Butch and Rich Holland, who, you know, within Butch, Pete Dunne, we all like him already. But then, you know, being in within this group, it winds up making Rich Holland look better, because Rich Holland just looks like a monster who just like wants to just beat your ass. Like this is a fun little trio. This was a fun match to get them over, but then also to make Imperium look good. I do think, yeah, like you know, this was your best match on the card, your most fun match on the card. And sometimes you look at it and say, oh, well, your opener was your best match. It's kind of bad. But, you know, I think these are just six guys that went out there and they had fun. And like that spot where they broke the entrance definitely was not supposed to happen. And you can tell that they might fuck it up. The first hit that like Sheamus had on Gunther, parallel to the ring camera, it shifted in a way that I'm like, yeah, I don't know if this might last the whole show. It didn't last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was funny. Overall, yeah, I love this match. It was good.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I mean, like, again, really good opener. Just kind of got the crowd going. And then from there, you know.
Yeah. From there what?
I mean, I know that you really enjoyed Liv and Ronda. Not everyone did. But
I understand that, but I'm just saying that, like,
Liv and Ronda was
fine. Back like it was the worst thing ever, and Twitter acts like it's the worst thing ever. It wasn't.
Yeah, I think the match ended. Okay, first off, the match wasn't great. I think anyone can say that. It wasn't a great match, but that's really just, like, they're both not particularly great workers to begin with, so you kind of get what you get. The match ending seemed abrupt to me, but I did enjoy the style of the finish, the choke. I think it was a very innovative choke from Ronda, and a way to establish a new submission for her to win that belt. But then also the reaction from Liv at the end was gold, the smile. I'm not going to sit here and speculate on what it is. Frankly, we don't know, but that was a nice little ending, so I can live with how mid the match was, because the ending was okay.
I think my thing is that, like, for me from going into this, what kind of match was this? Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
So that implies that it's going to be a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Fights are sloppy. They're uncoordinated. They're not choreographed. They're rough around the edges. I don't mind the physicality. I don't mind the fighting aspect of it. Not every match needs to be like this technical choreographed masterpiece. If they're going out there and they're throwing chairs at each other and hitting each other with baseball bats, why the hell do I need a style to that? Because when you do that, then you get into the complaints of, you know, oh, this is so dramatic. This is so theatric.
Well,
I appreciated the fact that they were laying it in on each other, that Ronda was swinging the bat into Liv like that. But Liv swinging the chair into that. Like, I like that. That's good.
And that's the part I liked. I liked all the outside the ring stuff. I didn't really like it, you know, when it was in the ring. But the outside the ring stuff and the weapons, that was good. I could have used more of that, I think, and less of the...
Yeah, and I think
that was my problem with it.
The table spot was a surprise. I thought personally that Liv was going to miss it and that Ronda was going to scoop her up after, just because they did that big spot with Liv and Lacey on SmackDown. So that was nice to see that they let her get that.
That was and a little bit of a sort scary, of what
led to the finish.
There was a spot where like she dropped her on the already broken table, and I was just like, "Hey, you want to make sure like those poles are out of the way?"
Yeah. that one was like, "Whoa!"
Yeah, I was like, "Yo, watch out!" But I think it was an appropriate level of violence. You know, there was only so much I could dislike about the match, like reasonably.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, I think a lot of people are upset, like, oh, Ronda's the champion again, but whatever. I mean, it is what it is. Like,
you can't, for right or wrong reasons, you can't discuss anything Ronda without anyone losing their minds either. So,
mm-hmm. That's part of it, too. But, I mean, it was a fine match. It wasn't the worst match of the night, I don't think. It wasn't the best. It was kind of just there.
Yeah.
The next match you guys can talk about, because this was my piss break / go get food with my girlfriend. Karrion Kross and Drew McIntyre in a strap match. So I have to contribute.
Yeah, I mean, so it started, you know, first of all, before they even got in the ring, they were kind of all over the place. And
that one I didn't understand.
Yeah, you know, the whole point of strap match is kind of keep everything kind of in the...
at least the vicinity area. Of each other.
So... That wasn't great. And then, yeah, they just kind of had a regular match. Like, it could have been on SmackDown. Like,
yeah, it felt like the strap stipulation was just kind of there. It wasn't really a factor.
It's like the, you know, Jeff Jarrett at SummerSlam. Like, he was just there. There was nothing to it.
He's like Daniel Cormier in the main event.
That too. But at least that, you know, it adds a little bit of legitimacy.
Yeah, it adds legitimacy. Exactly. Whatever, but, he did keep them in line.
We'll get to that, though. But, like...
At least he was a factor. This was there's a lot of times, and I'll get to that, I suppose, in the next match. There's a lot of times where you can have a ladder match where it's a ladder match or it's a match with a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
This was a match with a strap, and you can't have that stipulation and not have it be a primary factor in the match.
Yeah,
you can't start a strap match by having them fight in the crowd.
Yeah.
This fighting in the crowd would have been more appropriate for the preceding match.
Yeah, exactly.
If you kept Kross and Drew in the ring with the strap or whatever, and you played it out like that, okay, whatever, fine. I just had no idea what they were going for.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like,
and the finish was what made me sour on this match completely, because it was like, okay, whatever. Now they're getting violent. Maybe you can build to something. You just do the finish from AJ Lee versus Nikki Bella at TLC 14. That's just dumb.
Yeah.
I don't care for that. I genuinely do not care for that finish. If this is a write off for Drew because he's banged up and they want to get him a little bit of rest, okay, fine, whatever.
I hope it is.
I just don't like the hair pepper spray thing. Like, it's just
no, there's no reason for it. Like, again, I hope it's a write off for him because, you know, he was apparently banged up a little bit over the summer. But man, his stock in the past 6 weeks kind of dropped a little bit, too. I think some time away would do him some good, to be honest with you, because he's cold right now. You know, we talked about that being one of the problems of this match, where neither guy should really lose.
And that's why, again, they should have just played the corner game.
Yeah, exactly.
If they played the corner game here, that would have probably gone over better with me.
It's also kind of an interesting spot for Kross now, because it's hard to imagine him like in an actual world title program at any point. Like, definitely not against Roman, but it's hard to imagine him, you know, in an actual title program against like
whomever.
Really anyone. Yeah, because he's not ever going to be like the top bad guy there, or even the top spooky guy now that, you know, Bray's back. So
yeah.
it was kind of a mess, and it was only 10 minutes, but they did 10 minutes of pre-match stuff, and by the time you're done with it, it felt like 40 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not great.
Well, sounds like I didn't miss anything.
Nope,
the next match was a ladder match for the Raw Women's Championship. It was a really good one for the first one the women have done, and Bianca Belair came out on top, like I believed should have. And I'm sitting there with my girl, and you know, she knows I'm a big Bianca fan, and she likes Bianca as well, because, you know, the inspirational factor to her. And, you know, I keep hearing over and over, like, I hate Bayley. I don't like Bayley. I hate Bayley. That tells me Bayley's doing a fucking job, and that
it's
only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before she properly gets that Raw Women's Championship. So I think they did everything well here. You know, the odds were stacked against Bianca. She had to deal with not just Bayley, but then also Io and Dakota to climb the ladder to get that strap. I wish she would have did the KOD off the top, but I mean, I'm nitpicking there.
Yeah,
this was fun.
Yeah, I had a blast watching this. I think, you know, I understand to a degree. I want to point it out there. I understand the fact that the Bayley fandom right now is going through it. Not exactly happy. I think either fandom here would have taken the loss hard, and we're going to take the loss hard. But like, I'm not going to deter anybody from thinking and feeling away. However, my thought is that that match was validation. For a really long time, obviously, her most dominant peak right now on the main roster was when there wasn't a crowd. And that was probably her biggest singles match, I think, in like 5 years. The matches with Charlotte in the fall of 2019 were underneath the billing of Becky and Sasha. And they obviously did not get the kind of platform that they and the kind of canvas that the two of them got on Saturday night. And yeah, I mean, putting everything into consideration, it was probably her biggest singles match since, I guess, either Payback 2017 against Alexa or the match where she won the women's title on Raw in Vegas. They both knocked it out of the park. I mean, that was an instant classic to me. Yeah, I mean, the dueling chants were loud. She got people to still boo her, which again means that she's doing her job and doing it well. I have almost in just 48 hours after, I can't look at that match and say, yeah, I'm mad.
Yeah.
No, I'm really not. And whatever happens with Bayley, I mean, got the stamp of validation right there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a real good match. They lived up to the expectation, I think.
Yes, I think they did.
You know, finish was very cool. I was a little surprised Bayley didn't win, but you don't have to do it yet, I don't think.
The reactions for Bianca getting to the top and getting the title is exactly why you technically do not have to make that switch.
Yeah.
People are not ready for her to relinquish the title. And it has only been 6 months.
Yeah, and you know,
it's only been six months.
And this is one where we definitely have to see where it goes, because you got to figure that, you know, they're going to be on the War Games.
Yes, exactly. So this is side, so. This story is not over. This is just at the end. This is the conclusion, I think, of Act One.
And
Act One was really long, but I think this was the conclusion of Act One.
Yeah.
We're not at Act Two yet.
And if I had to guess, you know, the babyface side will probably win War Games. So Bayley winning the title, you know, here and then going back and losing that wouldn't be. Well, I mean, we'll see, too. We got to see, because it seems like there might be a couple, you know, new pieces on each side of that feud coming soon.
Plus, I mean, War Games is traditionally a heel match to win.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we'll see. But yeah, overall, it's not bad. And we'll see if they run something back in Saudi Arabia or whatever. But yeah, you know, just a really solid match for these two.
Very solid. Finn Balor came out with a new music, which was Boss. I haven't listened to it in full yet since the show, but
yeah.
I realized once he was doing the thing on the turnbuckle that, oh, that's just like a revamped version of your old thing. That is rad. And the entrance was dope. I like the mask. Really fits what he's doing right now a lot more than that fucking bandana he was wearing for a minute, looking like a prison Mike. it's either this or the six man tag for best match of the night. This was really fun. You know, going all over the ring. It played out very similarly to how I thought it would, where Edge would have to, the only way he could say I quit is if you harm Beth. That was the only way. And then don't give a damn. I'm still going to harm her anyway. It's going to beat her ass anyway. That sets up something future for all of them. I really enjoyed this storyline and this match and how it played out.
Yeah. So the first
29:55.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like the first 10 or 15 minutes where they were just kind of trading holds and it was just Edge groaning into the mic. I was like, well, this isn't going to be great. Girl. And then,
and they just turned around and added like an attitude
era. Yeah. Once they, you know, went in the crowd and all that and kind of started brawling and then, you know, got back in the ring and six different people came out. I was in, man. Like, I think the second half of that match is, one of the most fun viewing experiences that WWE's offered this year. Just the first half kind of takes it down. But the second half was great, and you know, storytelling finish was great, and because you know, we got about 10 or 15 minutes in, and I'm like, oh, they really have to tell Edge to stop doing these just really long matches, because he wasn't even that guy, you know, in his first run. So I'm like, why is he trying to be that guy now? And then they turned it around. So yeah, good match overall, though. They won me over. I can look past the first half really not being for me just because of how good the second half was.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that also that raises the profile of Judgment Day to a level that they needed to get to. And now they are just the nastiest, dastardly fucking people. And I like that just because of who the lead dog is there. I'm glad Finn's getting a shot.
Yeah.
And I think he performed really well here. So, yeah, this boosts them up big time. If I'm going to predict anything before Raw, I would predict that they are going to come out during DX's celebration.
Yeah, I can see that.
Someone is absolutely going to interrupt them. And I think that a decent way to show that this is kind of a, you know, new era or whatever, they usually wouldn't have people touch them. And, you know,
yeah. You
know firsthand how that goes.
Yeah, exactly.
In the same boroughs of New York. But I think that they could wind up putting their hands on somebody to do that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked. Probably won't be Triple H. Probably won't be Road Dogg, but it might be like X-Pac or even HBK.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool. I mean,
that's my bold prediction for tonight. Judgment Day gets their hands on D-Generation X, interrupts the party.
And they're also pretty clearly going to be feuding with AJ Styles and Gallows and Anderson now.
Very true. That is very true. They're laying that on thick.
Yeah, so it should be good. Judgment Day is still not entirely for me, but it's coming around a little bit.
And then the finale of this pay-per-view, almost the finale, before we talk about the real finale, The main event in the fight pit, Matt Riddle getting the victory over Seth Rollins. Now, I'll say this. I was sitting in the 200s. No, I'm not a broke boy. It was the third row, but the seats in Wells Fargo are cramped up in the 200s, so it's not, like, the best. You could barely see this from the 200s. I don't know how it was from the lower level. But like the top portion where they have that little video board that folks are standing on when they're up top, you couldn't see beyond that. So like we're having to just like strain up to view a little bit of the video board. We could still see. That was very uncomfortable. Don't ever do that again. So I wasn't necessarily a fan of the fight pit or this match at all. I'm more so worried if Matt Riddle is okay, because it looked like he fucked up his tailbone on that dive there. He also did not perfectly do that dive.
Yeah, no, it looked kind of rough. It looked like he got hurt, and then it looked like Seth just like his entire midsection kind of collapsed. So hopefully they're both good. I know Seth's facing Lashley on Raw. So it was okay. I don't think it was bad. You know, I don't know. Maybe didn't have to main event, but considering what happened next, maybe Edge and Finn main eventing wouldn't have made a lot of sense anyway. So I guess I get it from that perspective. Plus, you know, early on, at least in the match, there were just really loud chants for Bray. And, you know, those are two guys that would be able to handle it more, I think, than anyone else that would have gotten in that situation. But yeah, it was fine. Like, again, Daniel Cormier being there added some legitimacy. But, you know, they worked half the match on the top of the thing anyway, and he wasn't climbing up there. So, you know,
yeah, but then wouldn't get the call of Cole saying, "Get down, you crazy man."
Yeah, Michael Cole had a great night, by the way. Pierce, did. I don't know if you went back and saw any of it, but the Edge and Finn stuff, he was electric.
Oh, yeah, he was that was his shining moment there in the Edge Finn match. Wait till you run that back. Must have been talk about fucking Dom beating up Ray.
Yeah, that was great. but yeah, it was fine. Like, I don't think it was as good as the Clash of the Castle match. It was one that, you know, Riddle got the win. It was on his terms or whatever. Now they can probably have one more in Crown Jewel, and it'll be fine. Like, it didn't really feel like a main event, I don't think, but that is what it is. And like I said, I don't know that it necessarily, like, needed to be the fight pit. I don't know that the stipulation really added all that much, but the stuff at the top was cool. And you know, the one where Seth did the buckle bomb, I thought the thing was going to collapse and Riddle was going to go through it. So they had that going for him at least. And, you know, every time someone took a move up there, I thought, oh, they might fall or whatever. And I mean, it just ended up Seth just kind of rolled himself down. But it was fine. Like, that's kind of where I'm at on a lot of this show. Like, it was fine. There was nothing that I actively disliked for the most part in this match, and that kind of sums everything up.
Yeah, it's not too much for like, me to feel about this match. Like, I'm not... I think I'm done with the feud in general.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, because it's been going, you know...
It's been going for a little
SummerSlam
while.
Yeah. At this point, because they canceled the one match that was going to be at SummerSlam, mm-hmm. and then... Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I think both could stand to do some new fun things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get some fresh with the both of them. But the reason we're all here, and I was shocked that they had nothing to do with the match before it. The reason we're all here is the return of Bray Wyatt. And we all knew as soon as the White Rabbit stuff started, as soon as they started playing the song in the arenas and the house shows, before house shows, we kind of all knew where the lead-in was, but the reveal was still satisfying. And even, you know, being in the arena for it, and like, you know, you're watching just like the spectacle of it, you know, they really went all out to do this reveal. I thought it was one of the more fun reveals that they've done.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. It was ambitious. You know, having all six of the puppets or whatever at various places around the building was pretty cool. We didn't really learn too much from it, but it was cool, and people are going to remember it, and you would imagine he's going to show up on Raw, and that's kind of the point. They'll hook you in, and, you know, for better or worse, he's here now, and we'll see how it goes, I guess. It's something different, and hopefully it goes well. I know they brought in a new director of long-term storytelling or whatever, kind of tied to him in the past. I don't know if it's going to be directly for him, but...
I mean, it probably won't be directly for him, but I imagine it's a position that he might have bargained for.
Yeah,
I mean... So that everything can be tied together so that he's not just rambling incoherently ever again.
I don't know how much of, you know, the Fiend stuff was actually bad. The matches are bad, but, like, and that's still going to be a problem.
Well,
but
I think the fact is they just went too quick.
Yeah, that's the thing, too.
If they didn't go so damn quick to put the title on or put him in a title match, none of the complaints would have happened.
Yeah, because the beginning parts when he was just, you know, taking out Kurt Angle and Kane, that was, you know, captivating.
All that they legitimately had to do was just wait until basically the Rumble or even Crown Jewel to do something or whatever, and or Super Showdown, and then you start the title build. And if he doesn't get it.
No, and, you know, I said it then, too. Like, you know, The Undertaker, he had the 1-week-long title reign or whatever, and Hogan won it back.
Yeah.
And then he didn't hold it again until WrestleMania 13 or... you know, around that time. So it's like those kind of guys don't need the titles. And hopefully, you know, they realize that this time, I think they're gonna, there's only one title for now, but like, you know, just kind of see what he can do. Bring up your non-title feuds a little bit too. Cause that's been a problem with the males and the females really in the past couple of years. There aren't a ton of captivating, you know, non-title feuds. So if you can do that, you can bring that back. It'll be good. I think you're going to have to make sure that there's someone to rein him in a little bit, because obviously some of this stuff is a little wild, but overall, maybe it'll be okay.
Well, it might be wild, but as with anything, maybe it looks a little different. Maybe it's a lot more coherent under the new regime versus the old regime. And I mean, I think to a point, it was clear that Vince kind of didn't like him by the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
I mean, like that whole shit at Mania 37 was stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, that, you know, to build a whole thing and then not have any sort of plan
exactly
was not great.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can avoid that this time. And I think they will.
And, you know, what I will say is that maybe it's not for you, maybe it's not for others, but there's clearly a connection with the fan base in certain sectors. So from that perspective, I'm very happy for Bray Wyatt fans. I know what it's like to not have their favorite wrestler be on TV, even if it's from a completely different circumstance. So I'm glad that they're happy. I hope they're continuing happy. I know that YouTube video of his reveal or whatever is up with almost up to 12 million views already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus, who is doing that?
Yeah.
And he was only gone for a year.
Yeah. I mean,
it wasn't like this wasn't a CM Punk situation where he was out of wrestling for a long time. It was only a year.
And that's what I think. I said it on here a couple weeks ago. There aren't a ton of males that have that sort of connection. Like Brock and Roman and Cody,
correct,
obviously,
yeah.
We learned this year.
Seth, and, I think, to a degree.
Seth, to an extent, that's about it. You know, it's mostly the women that get these kind of loyal fandoms and audiences.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool from that regard, I guess, even though everything might not be entirely for me, but that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the thing about Bray has never been, like, before the bell, it's between the bell. And, you know, of course, the luster is going to wear off once he actually has to work a match. It's on WWE to, you know, make his matches, I don't know, accentuate the positive, hide the negatives. It's always what I go back to, but it's kind of like you have to accentuate those positives about Bray Wyatt, the creativity, you know, the pomp and circumstance. Find a way to limit what hurts him in ring. And, you know, that's going to be the tough job for Triple H. And but I'm glad that it's Triple H that's now in charge of Bray, not Vince. Maybe Triple H is going to be more receptive to some of Bray's ideas in ring than Vince was. And this go around is a lot more fruitful for everyone involved. I will say there's been rumors of who can join his family. They've been talking about Bo maybe coming back. I would love to see Bo within the Wyatt family. I don't think there's a circumstance where like, oh, you need to separate the brothers. You can't have Bo within the Wyatt family. There's a reason for Bo to be in the Wyatt family now. You know,
there is.
Being
That's
gone
true.
For so long. And you know, if you put him, like, there's a competent reason for him to be there now. So
Here's the only thing that, you know, concerns me a little bit about. Like, the one going around today, I think it was, like, you know, Joe Gacy, Dexter Loomis.
I mean, that's, you know, Bo.
If he just has a stable of people that no one already cares about, are people going to care about
him? Yeah, I feel you on that.
Well, I mean,
they could.
That's on them to make us care. By that logic, much of the audience probably didn't care about Dakota Kai or Io Shirai.
That's also true. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
That's really, to cycle back to it, I mean, if you think about it, Bayley's trying to make three different people at one time, two people in her faction, and the other person's literally Bianca Belair. It's not fast.
No, that's fair.
But I think Bray, if that was what they gave him, I think he could be tasked to do it. I mean, he kind of already did it with Rowan and Harper.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace.
No, I agree. I mean, you know.
But I get what you're trying to say, though.
We've seen Edge try to varying results, you know, in the past.
Yeah.
However long.
Exactly.
It's worth asking, but we'll see. I mean, it could be fine. I'm interested in seeing if he shows up on Raw and seeing what he does there, I guess.
For real. We're going to get out of here because Raw is getting ready to start, plus a good Monday Night Football matchup. We'll be back next week to talk more wrestling, to go back through the year 2006 as we're heading into Believe No Mercy.
Yes, we are.
SmackDown No Mercy. I am at Cameron Santa. Rob's at RobinO'Neil31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak at barberschair.net. That's the Twitter, Instagram, by the way. Facebook.com/barbershairdigital. Man, I don't know. It's a lot of baseball going on. We got a 40-40 club out. The Bears are bearsing like a motherfucker. I haven't paid attention. I didn't pay attention Sunday. I hear they were better. But new segments and analysis and all that. We'll be back to recap week 5 on 2-Minute Drill this upcoming Saturday. So be on the lookout for that and all the good stuff that we have on the BCNet.com. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. This has been Ruthless Aggression. Enjoy the wrestling this week. We'll see you next.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.